Wait, wait, stop. That's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others.
Going at it. Now, I've come out to those three and their spouses. And my youngest sister, who for me has been a rock through everything in the last 2 years. She's just been a rock for me. And I always get emotional when I talk about her. But me and her, we were both she's still living in Oklahoma. At the time of the union, I lived just, my property was 3 hours away from her house, her and her husband and their kids. And so I rode with her to the reunion, a 13-hour drive that we did. On the way back from the reunion, it was kind of a, you know, general conversation. We had our sibling gossip about other siblings and gossip about other family members. And then I took a nap and I woke up. We got into this conversation like the last 7 hours of the car ride. 6 hours because we had gotten to Missouri by that chance and by that point. And we had this little conversation about me and my personal life. And I was like, yeah, hold up just a second. I'm texting somebody. Like, I can't talk and text this. Give me a minute, you know? And she was like, so who are you texting? And I'm like, none of your business. And she was like, shut up. It's my business now. And from that point, she was like, oh, I knew it. And I was like, you know what? And I came out to her and she was like, oh, she goes, and she's much younger than me. I'm 30 years old. I'll turn 31 next month. She is 26, I think. but she was like, oh no. She said, I've known since you turned like 15 years old. I knew. I was like, now wait a minute. You were like 10 or 9. How?
I respect children and I feel like they still have God in them. Like,
yes,
we have like 16, 17. We have left God, like, because we've like, I'm a man now, I can do my thing. But kids under 14, they
something special about them.
My nephew, he would talk with me and he loves me and respects me because I give him undivided attention because I'm so mesmerized. Even Jesus said,
right,
like children. Even Jesus says, be around the children. And he was, and we've probably seen that famous painting.
Yeah.
Having children around him and all this stuff. I'm like this, because all the things he's telling you, and they have like no, well, most children, probably like some who had gone with trauma will be reserved, whatever. But
right,
the ones who just like, if they feel like they're welcome, they're going to tell you everything. They're going to tell you like they're, not, I mean, like stupid, not like they're stupid, but like
they're purely innocent on a pure level.
And I love that. And I love, like, you know, it's just not to be seen, not to be heard. I'm like, no, see them and hear them because you can learn a lot. You still have God inside them.
Right. Yeah. And so, so those are the siblings I come out to. You know, my cousin found out one time, me and one of my cousins, we're in this group called Ex-Mormon. And
she's an ex-Mormon.
Yeah. And somebody posted in that group, and I have other close people in that group too. I did not know we're in there. And somebody, a member of the group, posted up, hey, where's all my LGBTQ plus people at? And I was amazed. There were hundreds of comments Well, now at this point, there's well over 1,000. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And people were commenting like, hey, I'm not a member, but I support you 100%. Like, you need a mama, I'm your mama. You need a granny, I'm your granny. Like, there's a lady, she's up in her 70s, and she commented, she goes, you need a new grandma? I'm it, sweetheart. And I was like, okay, I like this lady. But I commented on there. I was like, yo, right here, you know, Oklahoma. And one of my cousins commented, she goes, I freaking love you. And I'm like, oh, crap. Did not know you were in this group.
Yeah,
because if you read my last post in this group, you know.
I've noticed people in their missionaries are in some of those groups because I check out the photos because I want to see who's in New York. And I see they have badge and it's still missionary. And I'm like, are you there because you're, well, if you truly believe, you would not be in the group. So I don't never ask them, but like, why are you either a missionary or you out, like you done with your missions and you are an ex-Mormon group, or you in a something called Metal Mormons. And it's like a mix of current Mormons and none. And why are you in that group?
Yeah.
You're going to be exposed to like certain stuff. But I mean, like questioning them, not as in a judgment way, but I'm curious to know.
Yeah.
Same with Jehovah's Witnesses. So, they are, I join a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses groups and ex-Jehovah's Witnesses. And then there are some people are still, there are Jehovah's Witnesses and they're in those groups arguing with Jehovah's Witnesses, with ex-Jehovah's Witnesses. And I'm like, why are you in an ex-Jehovah's Witness group arguing with ex-Jehovah's Witnesses and you are current Jehovah's Witness? Like,
yeah.
Why is that your place? Why do you waste time? Why don't you go and read the Bible? You know, why are you arguing with ex-Jehovah's?
Yeah.
Curious. So because Jehovah's Witnesses have a shunning process. Or practice.
I've heard about that. Yeah. So one of my aunts is Jehovah's Witnesses. So yeah, I've heard a little bit about it.
Do Mormons do that?
I laugh, but in a way, they do it in their own way. You
some of them, not a lot of them has. Only actually, you the third Mormon who were willingly on my podcast, but I spoke into a lot of them who backed out, or a lot of prior to get, they tell me their story and they're like, no, I changed my mind. And so they tell me that isn't there. Like they'll still talk to you, but it's kind of like Jehovah's Witness is like cutting a rotting arm, like done. But Mormons that I've talked to said, no, we'll still talk to you. No, we'll still invite you to church or family stuff, but I guess not bestie.
Right. So there's definitely, it definitely happens. There are those who, like you said, they will cut you off. It is like, black sheep of the herd. You're cursed. You're unlucky. You know, bye, Felicia. There are others who, I categorize them in three groups. The ones who cut you off completely. And I've experienced those. There's the ones, that's group one. Group two is the ones who are two-faced. They will genuinely, they'll say, hey, you know what? So what? You know, they'll want to talk with you. They'll invite you to activities. They'll, you know, be friends with you. I've learned with some of those people who are in that second category, unfortunately, they still have that mindset of we can change this person. If we just keep inviting them to activities and fellowship, what they call fellowship with the saints, they'll change. Oh, let's send them on a date with this person. You know, if it's a male, let's send them with her or her. Let's send them up with this guy. Let's get them. Let's family home evenings, whatever. We can change that. It may not be quick, but we can change that. So that second category, it's like they're two-faced, you know. It's like they're faking it. They're faking their friendship to try and, I don't know, try and grow their congregation, try and make them look like they're better people.
And again, that 10% your paycheck.
Yes. And then there's a third group that I have rarely found, but they exist. And honestly, all my siblings fall into that third group, where they don't care. it's not that it's like, oh, no, look, we don't care. Goodbye. It's like, hey, all right. You know, they have told me face to face, and the one that I was talking over text messaging with, you know, in one way or another, they've all said, hey, congratulations. You know, you're being brave. That doesn't bother me that you're gay. I'm still going to be your sibling. And there's been a few members of the church that I found, they're like, hey, we're still going to be your friend. Just because you're gay doesn't mean that you're a horrible person. You're still more than welcome to come be with our family, to play with our kids. You're still more than welcome to come and be a part of our activities. We're not going to try to force anything on you. And there's one group of people in the church that I have found like this, where when I was dating a guy for a little bit, and they said, hey, you know, it's the Halloween function. Do you want to bring your boyfriend over? And, you know, it's costume night, you know, here's, you know, you can't have certain costumes or whatever, but you can come, like, bring him with you. And I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know other members. And they literally looked at me and they were like, you know what? And I was amazed when they said it, because I was like, wow. And they were like, fuck the other members. I was like, okay, first off, you're the Release Society president. Never heard that from you before. second off, we're coming now. So there are those who will cut you off. There are those that are two-faced. And then there are those like my siblings and this very small group of members who are like, hey, you know what? We love you just the same. And you want to have a boyfriend? You know what? Let us meet him. You know, my one brother, and actually all of them, you know, especially my one brother and his wife, when we're in the van talking, he was like, all right, but here's the rule. He said, you start getting serious with somebody, you guys want to get married or just commit to each other. He was like, I better be at that ceremony. Because if I'm not at this ceremony, he goes, I will find you and I'll kick your ass. And I was like, see, and I believe that too. So, so yes, there are those who are supportive. But you do have to watch out for those who are two-faced, because the two-faced ones, they are the dangerous ones. Mm-hmm. It's like a sheep and it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. I would much rather have somebody cut me off completely than to be fake.
So how are you currently living your best non-Mormon life?
You know, for me, I got to tell you, growing up, and all the way up until the last 2 years of my life, the last year, actually, I have always suffered with anxiety, with stress, with depression, feeling of annihilation, and especially in the last 2 years, especially this last year, and since this summer, I have never felt so free in my life. I have never felt so open and stress-free. Yeah, I get some stress here and there, you know, with my schooling. I have a 4.0. And when I don't do well on a test, I get an 80. It stresses me out because I'm like, oh man, is that going to affect my grade? So I have the normal stress that anyone can get. But when it comes to being stressed about being myself, I don't have it anymore, because I have found a support system that I never knew that I had up until recently. I have some amazing family that I always thought that my family, you know, growing up, and even through my adulthood, I always thought that my family just absolutely was tired of me because I wasn't perfect and I messed things up a lot and I didn't communicate clearly, you know. But I'm starting to learn ever since coming out to a lot of them that was absolutely not the truth. And I feel like I'm becoming more brave to start coming out to more and more of them. I go to school, I go to work, and I'm happy. And if people that I have three roommates and two of them are dunderheads, but you know, the one roommate that I think you saw him pass through here a minute ago that I share a room with, he found out a few weeks ago on accident. And it wasn't that I was keeping it secret from them, but I thought, you know, let me test the waters first. And let me see how they might react. So I started watching some of my documentaries. There's one on Hulu for about pride, people who work in the military and the government. And I love the documentary, but I started watching that. And the one that I share a room with was like, hey, that's some interesting stuff. And he doesn't watch TV, but he was like into it. And when he found out, he was like, oh, by the way, he said, I think somebody came by looking for you. And I was like, oh, really? Who was it? He was like, I think it's the guy you're dating. And I'm like, no, it's not. He was like, oh, trust me, I know. And I don't care. And I'm not bothered by it. And I was like, you're not bothered by it. And he goes, no, why would I? He's like, you be you. I was like, okay, cool. So, you know, I live happy and I be myself. And at work, I am known as the psychotic crazy guy because they're just like, I don't know, have you ever seen like Duck Dynasty before?
I've seen commercials of them. They're like,
okay,
father and two brothers or something.
Yeah. Well, have you ever seen The Office before?
Same, just commercials.
Okay, okay. So,
I've seen the Office memes. I love that. I said, it would be nice if you share my post now.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you ever watch The Office, that's the best way to describe it because it's a more popular show. I'm known as the Dwight and the Creed. So do you know who Ryan Wilson is, the actor by chance? He played in the movie Sahara and he played in a few other things. Anyway, he's just this geeky guy.
Was he in The Monk?
The Monk?
A show called The Monk? Was it that actor?
No, not him.
Okay.
Anyway, he's just this crazy guy.
If you watch that, hi, husband.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't even know his name, but.
So yeah, I'm known as the crazy guy. Not like that, okay, this one's mentally like, woohoo, but like, dude, you're crazy. Like, calm down. You know, some of the jokes I tell, my personality, they're like, oh my God, that's some dark humor, but it's funny. Like, what is wrong with you? So I'm being myself. I'm also very flamboyant at work and I don't care. I'm under vehicles and I'm working on cars and they're like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, look, I don't know what the girl's problem is, but this car is effed up. Like, girl needs some help. And I'm waving my hands around. I'm doing the motions, you know? And one lady came in and she was watching me work on her car. And when I got the car finished, it took me an hour because of what was being done. And when I got finished, I completely washed my hands off. I got in her car and I drove it around front to her. And I was like, girl, what are you doing? She goes, I love your little attitude you got going. And I was like, what are you talking about? She goes, you got that. She goes, you must be gay. And I'm like, yeah, I am. But how can you tell? And she's like, you have that attitude of a Black woman. She goes, you are just head nod and yes. And she goes, you have been snapping your fingers at people all the time. And I was like, okay, didn't notice that, but yeah, you know. And my coworkers were like, you're gay? And I'm like, yeah. And they were like, yeah, you know. They were like, you talk about a girlfriend. I'm like, no, I don't. They were like, oh no, you give the advice. And I'm like, y'all come for me advice and I give it to you. Don't miscommunicate here. You know, yeah. But I live much more happily now and much more comfortable in my own skin. You know, I'm starting to make a few friends out here. I actually put myself out there and I decided, let me go onto a dating website. And granted, it was Facebook dating, but I
got kicked out on that.
Oh,
Facebook kicked me out.
Oh no. See, I go on Facebook jail a lot, but you know, but I put myself out there and I talked to a few people on Facebook dating, a few guys, you know, some of them were like, all they wanted was sex. So I was like, block. Other ones were like, you know, I was like, this is not Grindr. Bye, Felicia. you know, but this one guy that I started talking to, very cute, very handsome. And we started chatting up for a little bit. We talked for, I think, a couple of weeks. And I was wanting to ask him out. Like, we had talked about going out to dinner, going out for coffee. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And then one day he was like, do you want to change phone numbers? I was like, oh, I don't know. usually this is the part where I get rejected, you know, because they take a look at me and they're like, ew, you have glasses. Oh my God, your teeth are not perfect. You know, I have, I'm not the most perfect in shape, so on and so forth. He was like, no, let's go out for dinner. And he took me out to dinner and I was so financially strapped that I was like, okay, let me look for the cheapest thing on the menu because I'm used to splitting the bill with people, but he paid for the whole thing. And I'm like, oh my God, does this actually happen? Like, God, it's me, Amy. And then afterwards, I was so taken back because he was like, hey, let's go get some coffee or something, or let's go get a drink. And he looked up one of the bars out here and he was like, oh man, this bar's almost closed. It was 9 o'clock. It was late on the weekday night. You know, I was like, oh yeah, yeah. And he goes, I got an idea. He's like, let's go back to my place. Like it's like just 5 minutes away. And I was like, okay, sure. In the back of my mind, I'm like, man, don't be another one of those, like just sex on the first date, you know? And he wasn't. We stopped by a gas station and we had chatted the whole night through. I was finally confident in myself, comfortable with myself, being in public on a date with a guy that I didn't care who saw. I didn't care who noticed. I was like, you know what? What is that? A, B, C, D, F, you and your mom and your dog and all that. You know, I was like, screw all y'all. I don't care. And we had such a great time and we've been talking ever since. And we have another date tomorrow. We're going to go to lunch and everything. But I'm just so much more confident. And I think a lot of that has to be with, I have socially distanced myself from the church and distanced myself from being in an atmosphere where you feel judged and you feel hated for being there. You know, when you're gay and you're growing up I say any religion, but and Jehovah's Witnesses maybe the same, I don't know, but in the Mormon church, especially when you are growing up and you're homosexual, you feel a high level of guilt. Like you are the wrong person. Like you sometimes, you know, there were times I felt like I just shouldn't be living because I'm living in a sin and no one should feel like that. And now it's just because I've distanced myself from that. I just feel so much more alive. I finally worked up the courage to order myself a pride flag. And it's actually going to be here on Tuesday. I honestly can't wait till Tuesday because when I get off work, I'm so ready to be like, that package better be at my doorstep. And my neighbor across the hall, I'm like, yo, if you see a package, you gotta go hide that on my porch around the back, like hide that mess, you know? And just so much more. I feel like I have so much more freedom.
Yeah, I can totally feel you when you're talking about how, I don't know if you read this book or believe in that, how your brain or things that going up here can create dis-ease, you know, like dis-ease on your body, like you're not at ease. That's what dis-ease is. And having like pain. Do you know Louis Hayes from Hay House?
Yeah.
Perfect. So I read all her books and I don't remember exactly the book's name, but since you're a fan, you can look her up. One of her books talks about how how your mind or how you live your life can create disease in your body. I forget what that book is called, but now I read another book that's called The Body Keeps the Score. Yeah. And it talks about how stress or depression or anxiety or this and that can create specific scientific proving dis-ease in your body. And disease doesn't mean like, it could be cancer, but it could also be a back pain. And how Louise Hayes talks about how back pain is, it's funny, but since you're not being supportive, because your back supports you, your spine supports you.
Yeah.
You weren't being supportive in your community. And maybe, of course, it's just like a maybe thing, but it's as studies is proving that back pain relates to where you are, you're not being supported. And so therefore you get the back pain or shoulder pain, because that's what like support. Right. And with other things, but that book was great because when I was reading it, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I've I had trouble even now, but now I'm more relaxed about it. How I've often felt, I do so much and I feel like I'm not being supportive, but I've only had that mindset because I compare the support that I was getting or the lack of compared to other people who get huge support. So now the way I see it is, if one person supports me, that's enough. One is enough. But I have to remind myself that all the time because I do so much, so much. And I can see someone else on Instagram because I look at their photos. They started in 2020 and they have 14,000 followers or 1,000 likes or comments. Like even on Facebook, someone will post something and someone may have like 100 comments. And then I'll post things. And then sometimes I even have this one friend. And I do that too. Like if I'm going to be supportive, I'm going to like all your stuff, share all your stuff. Even if I read it or not or watch it or not, I'm just going to be that supportive kind of person because my primary love language is acts of service because I like to service. And he always does that for me. And I don't think he actually watched everything, but he's actually just, you know, being that service. And I appreciate that a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I often think of him or other people who does small acts of that. At least I just need one to feel gratitude, because I read a meme that says gratitude is not actually being thankful for what you have. It is being thankful, I mean, of what you will get or what you have. It is being thankful for stuff that you actually don't have, but you're grateful for the things that you have. It's like some paradox like that. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to be grateful for that one person who supports me instead of keep saying that I don't get support. I mean, like comparative to the world, the amount of stuff that I do, I don't get that support that I'm expecting, but enjoy the process and fuck it and have whatever. Like I post on this group and this guy, every time I post on that group, he keeps saying, no one cares. And then he said something like, he made fun of my YouTube channel. He says, your failed YouTube, whatever. And then I was thinking of like doing a like a clock back. But then instead of that, I responded, oh, thank you for being my number one fan because you know I have a YouTube. Like, how did you go on my YouTube to know that it's failing? Obviously, you're a fan. And he's not liking my posts, but he's like thumb down them. And then I made a post on that group and I said, so-and-so and I should start dating because he likes all my posts and comments how much he doesn't like them. And so I know it's Christmas or Christmas Eve, so he probably didn't respond because he's busy with family. Yeah. But everyone laughs at it, like whatever. But now I'm like laughing at those things because I don't need human validation about my life.
Yeah.
I need my own validation. If I'm gonna rely on people's validation, I'm just gonna die. Even another guy you probably know, Dr. Wayne Dyer from Hay House, he says, my favorite quote, and I live by it. Two of my favorite quotes, but one of them, he says, be independent of the good opinions of others, which means that do not feel alive when someone says, oh, you're so pretty. Oh, I like your eyes. I like your smile. Oh, your work is great. Don't even feel dependent on that. Because if you are, you're going to feel small and you're going to fall when someone says, hey, your YouTube channel is failing. Yeah. Actually, when he said that, I laughed. I didn't care. Like, what does failing mean? Because I'm doing it for me, not for you. If you don't, obviously you love it because you, anyway. So,
Yeah.
I'm very happy for you that finally you're living your best life and live it for you. And since if you believe in God, live it for God. Because those humans, who are they again? Exactly. So I'm very happy for you. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's there. There was somebody talking about, you know, why is it that adults, men especially, who are gay or LGBTQ plus, it's like they turn into a child again when they get into their late 20s or early 30s. And I kind of thought about that. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? And then I realized, I was like, well, I could kind of see that, because it's like they're finding their whole new self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put a face on, you fake it the whole time. You have to act like you're straight or act like this or that. And then when you finally build up that courage and you're just like, you know what? F it. You know what? Once I found that support group, I was like, forget it. If the rest of you know, and congratulations. If you don't like it, you know what? You ain't got to be part of my life.
Yeah. And whose standards we're going to live on? Like, I had to think about that. I was like, fuck your standards. I don't put any standard out there to make anyone live on my standard.
Right.
Like, these people, they have this, you know, when they say, I don't remember the quote, but fuck the horse you came and ride on. Like, who are you again? Like, and if you're a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or whatever religion, I'm the representative of God. I'm the prophet. That's who I am.
Oh,
well, God did come to tell me that you were that. You telling me that. So therefore, I do not conquer.
yeah. I remember one conversation you mentioned that, and it reminded me, I was having a conversation with somebody in church a couple of years ago, and they were like, well, God says this and he says that and blah blah blah. And I finally looked at her and I said, you know what God told me? What? He told me to tell you to shut up.
Exactly.
You know, Mike's Trump, I just left the room.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wanted to laugh when those women were telling me we have true prophets, whatever. And I never talked about that, but I thought about it. That's like any sensible person with a brain in their head. Anyway, I don't want that to sound
as an assumption. That is a whole nother discourse I can get onto about.
I'm like, the whole time I'm laughing because I know it's a joke and I'm doing an experiment. I'm like, so you're gonna come to a black person to tell them all this stuff when I know the Mormons or that prophet then all of a sudden change his mind, or God changes his mind to say now black people are acceptable in the church, when it's actually no history, is because they have to go with history.
Yeah.
You know, they have to go with history. You cannot decline black people anymore after the 70s.
Yeah.
So therefore you have to go with history. But I'm betcha if the 60s were still around, they would still have that same doctrine. So don't tell me God changed his mind. What the hell? God changed his mind, or the prophet has a new revelation. Same with Jehovah's Witnesses. Like, and that's why history is really important. History is really important. Right. If you don't know history, you're going to be ignorant. You're going to say ignorant shit. You're going to be ignorant. And it's like ignorance is not an assault. It's like ignorant is not knowing.
It's or like sometimes they say in the South, ignorance is bliss, and that person is a blissful life.
Yeah. And so, anyway. Well, thank you so much for hanging out.
Uh-huh.
And I love every interview because it's like I come in it with some questions and we don't know each other. And after like maybe 5-10 minutes, we're hanging out as if I've known you. So I appreciate it. Your kinder very much. Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
Absolutely. And if you ever need, you ever have any other questions or want to do another deal like this with me, you know, I'm always open. I'm always open for it. This last couple of months, when we first initially started talking, in the last couple of months between then and now, I've had to do a lot of traveling between here. I'm in Houston for schooling. And so I've had to do a lot of traveling because just family related, all that. And now I'm to the point where I don't have to travel as much and I'm here and I'm just home. So
nice.
I'm always open for, if you ever want to do another one, need more insight, whatever it is, you let me know. I'm always down.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, if you know any current Mormons, because I'm trying to get those.
I'm telling you what, those are the hard ones to get.
Hey, if I probably just like roughly I spoke to, let's say, 20 people who left and they just chicken out, and you're the third. Actually, when you didn't talk to me for a while, like, I have no judgment. I just accept things as is.
Right.
And I just thought, like, you are someone else who just like, you don't want to do it. And that's fine. I totally respect that, because you owe me zero, nothing. Okay. Right. And you doing this for me and we're chatting, I am grateful for it. I appreciate it. You didn't have to do it. And so when that happened, I was like, because I'm like, how you call it? It's like a study. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, because that's what I mentioned. I was just like, Mormons are loyal. And I was like, oh, he's probably whatever, and over it, whatever. And when you messaged me, I did not have, how you call it, resentment or, you know, attitude about it. Because I'm like, oh, he's ready. And whenever they're ready. And there are some stories out there I would love to interview. I had people, like, things that are real, I know they're taboo, but we need to talk about it. Like some people who were in those rooms before they become missionaries, like they tell me, and they wanted to be either anonymous. One of them wanted to be anonymous. Actually, one of them too was trans and he wanted to be anonymous. And there's another one who got molested in one of those rooms and he still went to missionary and then backed out. And I totally get that. I totally understand. They don't know their stories, and only if it happens, and I'm very grateful for it. Yeah. So thank you for having the time today to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I ever need more. Me and my buddy, he's like a brother to me. Today we had an hour-long phone call about the church and things that the church hides. And oh man. So yeah, anytime.
Yeah, that's why I made that group, because I want people, like, if they feel a certain way, they can have a supportive. And Facebook is great. Some people bitch about Facebook all the time, and I'm like, you just got to see the positive in life. Mm-hmm. I don't like Facebook either. They put me in jail all the time. They cancel my Facebook dating for no reason because I don't follow guidelines. What kind of guidelines? You cannot send photos. It's not like I said something inappropriate. Like, what guidelines did I break on a dating site? But whatever. Yeah. The least I spend on social media, the best. But anyway, my point is, how there's a tool. How you use it is up to you. Some people don't like Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't like it either, but I'm using it as a tool because, hey, we met on there, and we're creating great things. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say lastly before we go to the audience or whatever?
You know, I love what you're doing. I honestly do. And I'm so glad that I got the chance to do it. And my life finally settled out to where I could do this with you, because I think that a lot of people need to know that they are not alone. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of youth in the Mormon church today who struggle, who are homosexual or who struggle with it, whatever the case may be. They need to know they're not alone. There's a lot of young single adults who are not married that they struggle with it more than anything. They need to know they're not alone either. And unless we talk about it, there's no way that people are going to know that this is truly a struggle for people. And people leave the church for it because of all the backlash. And I think it's great that you're helping us to create a new community and create a comfort for others and a help meet for others as well. I think that's great. So thank you.
Yeah, totally. Certainly. Because when the Mormons missionaries were messaging me, I was just like, you know what? Because I actually had a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness, how it is smarter to, when you know these things and you're aware, and if you're smart, I guess, to save your money, get your own place, and then quit that way. Because if you are a missionary and you come out and then you're not welcome, where are you going to go? You're going to be homeless and you're going to do all the bad things they're telling you not to do because you have no choice, because you're going to maybe have to sleep with people for a place to stay or get on drugs to get over certain things and maybe steal and maybe doing certain things that you did not want to do just because you just did it for survival. So
and there's some people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, there's some people, you know, my best friend, my godbrother, he actually messaged me about this earlier. He was talking about how he found something out about the church and he was like, I didn't know that still existed. I'm like, first timer, huh? First time? Yeah. And he goes, yeah, first timer for me. And I'm like, well, welcome to the world. And he was like, well, I didn't know. He said, apparently there's like gay camps for Mormons. And I'm like, oh yeah, those still exist. He was like, I thought they did away with that in the 80s. And I said, oh no, they still exist.
What?
You never heard about that?
Let me go.
Yeah, no. And it basically, yeah, it's like gay, pray the gay away, but it's an encampment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I thought it was differently, yeah. Like gay camps. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
No, yeah, like, no, yeah. Yeah, no, they like pray the gay away and let us send you through these like machines and all this. And
I saw a thing. You probably saw the documentary on Netflix. I actually made a Facebook page recently about it. What is it called? Yeah. Facebook kicked me out of my phone. I don't know why. Facebook is really annoying. But anyway, they were a group. I forget. I'm going to post when if I remember, maybe this boy will make me remember to put the link on the description when I post the video. It's a group that was huge. And then they stopped doing their thing, I think 2013, because the leaders came out and said, we tried and we were lying to ourselves. And I forget what that group is called, but it was a camp. And then how they have like sectors, they didn't call them wards, but they had like different churches. And some of them, actually after the meetings, they were having sex with each other, but because they know they couldn't do it, but they have to put on space. What I don't understand is human brain is really interesting. As an adult now, if I join a place and I'm not welcome and I'm feeling feeling grossed about it, and I'm putting on a mask so I can please other people, I cannot understand that. I get it, but I cannot understand that. But if you're raised in, like I was and you were, you're raised in and you have to put on a face, and then you go through your adulthood, you got married, you have children, and you still have to put on a face because when you got married and children, you are too tied in and you're still deep in, that I get it. But as an adult, you willingly join a church as a gay person and you're gonna give yourself all this turmoil and all this dis-ease for decades. And after 20 years, you're like, actually, I'm out now. And then you wasted your youth.
Yeah.
That's like some deep therapy.
It's baffling. It is, yeah.
I'm like, you're going to need some deep therapy. Like, first of all, like, why were you in your 30s? You joined a group to pray the gay away. And I understand it's part of it is because of society, of course. But maybe if you did therapy instead, it would help you not spend 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the group now. It called Exodus. Exodus International.
Yes.
I watched the documentary. Very fascinating. And when they got, dissolved, how many groups under them created their own because they were like the head. And when they dissolved, like, everyone else did their own thing and they still have this thing. And some people were like, yeah, we were having sex all the time and we know it was fake, but what are you gonna do? Like, you can't tell each other whatever. And watching it, I was like, damn, like I can't live a lie. That's one of the reasons I have a YouTube channel too. Like, I have so much to say and I cannot be silenced anymore. I'm like, I can't. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, I could, but I've done it and it's suffocating and I feel lonely and I feel like I need to be free. And as humans, we're free. We have the intelligence. But anyway, going on tangent. I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you
again. All righty. Merry Christmas. Have a good evening.
Oh, yes. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.